From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 8th day of May 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vick. She's from Stuart Peterson. A bit later in the program, Drew Lerner will be here to talk about the weather forecast and conditions across the whole of the Corn Belt, who's likely to be able to run, how soon, and how things are getting better, rather nicely, maybe, okay, and then worse again. And of course, we'll take a look at the agricultural news as well, including information about this week's trade negotiations with China, right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Jackie Vick. She's from Stuart Peterson. Hey, Jackie, thank you so much for being with us. We have a whole lot to talk about today, but again, glad you're here another Wednesday.
Well, I'm here. I'm always glad to be here, Todd.
Hey, so let's begin where we always do, with the support and resistance.
Today, this is weekly, and I'm going to do July and December corn and July and November beans for a change. On July, no really change, any big change from last week. Support 351 and a half, 332, 317. Resistance at 372, 384, and 398. When we look at December corn, we've got support at 371, 358, and 349, and resistance at 385, 395, and 407. I'm impressed with December corn. We've managed to stay above the 370 level. We're just hanging in there. We did put a low in at 369 and a half, but we managed, or excuse me, at 379 and a half. So we haven't gone down, you know, to the insurance areas necessarily just yet. So I'm happy with that. On beans, July, support 840, 798, 765, resistance 890, 905, and 971. And on November, we have support at 839 and three quarters, 792 and 762. Resistance is at 887, 916, and 964. We have a gap from Monday between 855 and three quarters and 862 and a half. And so, we're going to need to fill that at some time. Right now, in my opinion, it looks as if November beans are trying to consolidate and find some type of support that might hold up as we go further.
You know, tomorrow I'll talk to Zwicker, but he asked me on Monday whether I was a buyer after seeing that gap on Sunday night. Two things. One, I don't trade. and the second, I just asked him if it was an exhaustion gap or whether it was a halfway gap. He didn't answer completely, thought maybe it was an exhaustion gap. But a lot of that has to do with whatever happens with the trade agreement. And boy, we're still in the process. We've only got, today and tomorrow until we really find out, I guess, at midnight tomorrow, right?
Well, it was really disappointing, you know, to see that China deleted the commitments they had made to change the laws, you know. And this is revolving all around the core complaints, you know, the theft of intellectual property, trade secrets, forced technology transfers, competition policy, and access to financial services and currency manipulation. Now, they agreed to all of that. Now they came back and just X'd it out. And not really a big surprise, I guess, because, you know, China still wants to be in control. So, you know, President Trump said, well, you know, if you guys don't come to the table, we'll see, on Friday, we're going to raise the tariffs on $200 billion in China products from 10% to 25% through the end of July. And then if you still don't come to talk, I'm going to add the other tariffs at a later date. Now, I think when you look at the bean market especially, you know, beans have been hit by the trade agreement and because we just continue to rain. And of course, that always implies to the trade that we're going to switch corn acres to bean acres. But I thought it was interesting. Bloomberg had a comment today. Beans are in striking range of 11-year low, which is 8.25. But they look like they're probably going to weather the storm better than the stocks. And this is based on the fact that beans since the beginning of May were down 1% compared to the S&P E-mini futures, which lost 2.5%. And so if that's true, you know, you have to ask yourself, how much further down can we go? We know we can go further. There's no question about that. Managed money this week actually reduced their short position in corn, but they added another 20,000 contracts to beans, another record, 172,000 short in beans. They actually reduced it in soy meal and added just a little bit in soy oil and reduced some in wheat. And so, you know, a lot is going to depend upon when they feel like we're getting to a point that they're, you know, the information's here. You know, we've seen all this. How many times can we re-chew this information, spit it back out in a different way, and not have it come out saying the same thing?
I have a question about this then, because what I think you've told me is that commodities in general, and soybeans are included in this, are a safer haven than the stock market, and so that there might be support where we are now, maybe, or somewhere in this place, for even soybeans, should things really fall apart. Is that right?
Well, that's right where I was going, because, you know, we've known in the years past, and that's one of the things we don't have right now, Todd, is that they come over from the stock market to try and protect or increase gains in the by using the commodities, by using grains, by using this as a hedge on the stocks. So if stocks really start to get kicked in the pants, it's very likely we'll see some of those people come back into the commodity market again and start to actually buy in the commodity market to try and protect themselves on the stock side. And so this is one of those things that's, you know, in the background. A lot of people, I think, don't think about it, but we know that it's true. I mean, in the years when we've had these tremendous markets, that's what's been going on. We've seen them come over. That's why every time there's a big blow up in the stock market, what do we see happen to the grains? They go down because they come here and they take profits to offset margins over there. And so margins and to increase profits over there, I guess, is what I should say. So, yes, you went right where I was going. So that's good.
Hey, so then this all sort of plays into the USDA WASDE report, which will take on Friday at 11 o'clock Central, the first look at the 1920 crops, spring crops. Corn and soybeans are the ones that are supposed to be being put in the ground right now, but are delayed by the weather, into account. One of the most interesting numbers, at least for me, would be the midpoint price. And I can't imagine what they're going to come up with, but it's going to be interesting to see how USDA views this all and what it means, I suppose.
Well, that's one of the things that at the USDA meeting they announced, and they're taking the range away, and they're only going to have a midpoint. They're not going to have any ranges anymore because too many people don't interpret them properly. So this will just make it better. So we'll see once that's supposed to happen on this report. The question I have in my mind is, you know, will we see the USDA lower the corn yield at all due to planting delays? It's unlikely that that's going to happen. But I do think at the rate that we're going right now, some point in time in the future, we're probably going to trade 170 bushels to the acre unless this thing really giddy ups and goes. But when you look at crop production for corn production for in general, 14,765 versus 14,420. So they're still, you know, ahead of 18. And beans, 4,187,000,000. And last year's was 4,544,000,000. So that is significantly down from where we've been. Ending stocks, corn just a little over 2 billion. Beans at 925. Corn went up since the April number. Beans went up 30 million since the April number. Wheat at 1.1 billion, basically just pretty close to the same as it was on the April number. Now, when we look at 1920 stockpiles, they're projecting that corn is going to be at 2.142 billion, beans at 943 million, and wheat at 1,073,000,000. So we'll have to see. Those will be the first ones we get. And when you look at the world numbers, you know, we're looking at 315.5 million metric tons versus 314 in April. So this is still the 18 number. 109 on beans compared to 107.4, 276.1 on wheat compared to 275. So you can see there's a slightly higher bias on that side. When we look at the all new wheat production, 1.92 billion, that's up from 1.88 that we saw on the April report. Now at the world level, for 1920, they're looking at 304. Now that would be 11 million metric tons less than what we have this year. beans 113, which would be 4 million metric tons higher, and wheat 272, about 4 million metric tons lower. So we also got some good numbers coming out on Brazil. Basically, we're looking at about 96.6 million on corn out of Brazil, which was 96 this year, and beans 116.9, and they're at 117. So I guess we'd have to say that's pretty darn close. Argentina 48.2 compared to 47, and 55.8 compared to 55 on April's report. And so, the bias, of course, continues to be to the large side. And people here are saying, well, why can that be? Look at what our weather is. Look at this. But this is a world market. And the bias is on the world level, not just on our level.
Is there anything else out of Brazil besides, and South America in general, besides those really big numbers or good numbers for even their second crop corn that we've talked about in the past?
Well, I found some interesting information. Well, I actually got it from Dr. Cordonier, and I thought that everybody out there might like this. These are the land prices in Brazil for 2019, and this is pasture land versus agricultural land or production land. Now, it's broke down in dollars per acre, so if you're in the northeastern part of Brazil, you see anywhere from $230 an acre to $496 for pasture land. And for agricultural land there, it's 518 up to 687. There's a lot of, for ag land up there, they'd still have to do a lot of things to get it really producing. Now, if you go into the center of the west, which would be Mato Grosso do Sul, Goiás, pasture land runs anywhere from $551 per acre to $1,068, and ag land runs from $1,349 up to $2,062. So a big increase there. Now you go into southern, which is Paraná. Paraná was the first state that ever started raising crops. Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina, Sao Paulo, and Minas Gerais. Now we have pasture land that is anywhere from $878 to $2,253 an acre. And we have agricultural land at $1,382 all the way up to $3,385 per acre. And, they buy in hectares, which is 2.4 acres. So for them, take 2.4 times this and then you've got the hectare amount. But I thought that was pretty interesting because if I, remembering back many, many years ago, a lot of that land was going for 30, 40, and 50 bucks an acre.
Boy, that sounds cheap. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. Take care. Have a good day.
Jackie Vex is Stuart Peterson. She joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at WILLAG.org. Most of our agricultural programming is posted there not long after it airs on our radio stations. And in the case of Commodity Week, before it ever airs on the radio station. And there is one thing about Commodity Week this week. That'll be live on Friday right here on the afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. If you can stay with us on the whole hour, that's actually on the home radio station. Otherwise, it'll show up on the rest of the radio stations over the weekend. This is because the USDA report is coming out at 11 o'clock on Friday morning. And for those of you that are interested in those brand new numbers that take a look really for the first time at how USDA views the current crop, the one you're putting in the ground right now, you can do that on our website at 11 a.m. We'll have a Twitter account there that'll bring to you all of the numbers that are coming from USDA right there at willag.org Friday morning at 11 a.m. In today's agricultural news, the United States has received an indication from China that Beijing still wants to make a trade deal. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders said today after Washington announced it will raise tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports.
Look, we've got an indication that they want to make a deal. Our teams are in continued negotiations. They're going to sit down tomorrow and we'll see what happens from there.
Trade delegations from Washington and Beijing are scheduled to begin their latest round of talks tomorrow. A Reuters report earlier quoted U.S. government and private sector sources as saying China had backtracked on almost all aspects of a draft trade agreement. The United States will raise tariffs on some $200 billion worth of Chinese imports to 25%. from 10%, effective on Friday at 12:01 a.m., so that's Thursday night into Friday morning. U.S. President Donald Trump said in a tweet Wednesday that he would be very happy with over $100 billion a year in tariffs filling U.S. coffers. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C., where this week Congress is considering a new disaster aid bill that could break a political logjam that snagged earlier bills. House legislation is expected to have more aid for hurricane-ravaged Puerto Rico, the earlier legislative roadblock, plus new disaster aid eligibility for Midwest flood losses. The Department of Agriculture could see new authority to spend unused funds for storms and wildfires as recent as this year, while another rider, if accepted, would clarify the Illinois River's part of the Mississippi system, making Illinois eligible for added funds. But the political fight that blocked an earlier Senate GOP version was over Democrats' charge that Puerto Rico was being shorted. A new Senate offer adds $300 million for the island. Both sides see progress, says Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley.
I did have this sort of briefing yesterday from my staff based upon briefing they had from under the Republican leader's office that there was negotiations going on over the weekend and there was some progress made.
Top Senate Appropriations Democrat Patrick Lay told reporters of the new GOP offer, "We're a lot closer." Grassley says more aid can come later as damage estimates are totaled.
Still going to have more money. I have not had any time in the 38 years I've been in the Senate that the federal government hasn't eventually met its responsibilities that it assumed maybe decades ago to be an insurer of last resort.
President Trump has not taken a position on the latest proposals. He opposed new Puerto Rico aid above an earlier $600 million round for nutrition in the failed Senate measure, citing billions spent are allocated for the island already. The House could pass the bill as soon as this Friday. Let's come a little bit closer to home, where the Ag Economy Barometer plummeted in April, declining to a reading of 115, an 18-point drop compared to March when the index stood at 133. The 18-point decline in the index was the fourth largest one-month fall in the barometer since data collection began back in October of 2015. Organizers say the barometer's decline was driven by worsening perceptions of both current economic conditions and weaker expectations for the future. Producers surveyed were less inclined to think now is a good time to invest in buildings and equipment and are less optimistic that the trade dispute with China will be resolved by July 1st than they were a month earlier. Over half, 56% of farmers in April survey reported they expect their farm's financial performance to be about the same as last year. However, 27% of farmers said they expect this year's financial performance to be worse than last year. Producers appear to have a more negative perspective on the future direction of corn and soybean prices, helping to explain some of the decline in the barometer. The barometer is produced by Purdue University in cooperation with the CME Group. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Hey, have you tried using Commodity Week or the Closing Market Report as a podcast? If not, I urge you to give it a shot this spring when you're in the field, especially if you have a Bluetooth radio in your tractor cab. It's really simple to do. You can just use your favorite podcast app. So if you're on an iOS device, check out iTunes and search for the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. If you use an Android device, try Google Play and look for podcast, and then again, look for the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. There are several other ways to do it as well, but please give it a shot. I think you'll like it. You can listen to the programming on demand anytime you'd like, uninterrupted, right there on your radio when you want to, as a podcast. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hey, Drew, thanks for being with us. Is there any chance that the weather is going to get better for planting?
Well, I guess it really depends on your perspective and your location. because somebody out there in Kansas or Missouri right now would probably think it's not any better. In fact, it's many times worse, only because they've had, you know, rain over multiple days here and the water is just standing around everywhere. Even places in Illinois where we haven't been able to get much field work done are still not in such great shape, and we do have a new rain event pushing through the region. So the outlook at the moment is certainly doom and gloom if you're a farmer out there in those fields. But just a little ways out in the forecast, there is a glimmer of hope. I think we will be able to run across at least a little less precipitation for a while. And the unfortunate part is our temperatures aren't going to be as warm as we really need them to be in order to really stimulate a quick couple of days of drying and then we can get in the field. Instead, it's going to be a little slower than that. We're going to see a lot of 50 and 60 degree highs as we go forward through the post-rain event coming up at the end of this week into the weekend. And so it will be a slow go, but next week we should get two or three days of really nice and warming taking place, and that will help to stimulate some faster drying rates. Now, I realize some of the eastern Midwest are going to be in the 80s today, so I do know that there are places in the east that are in much better shape or getting that way just simply because there's no rain at the moment and there is some warmth out there. We'll see some 70-degree temperatures coming back across the Midwest as we get into next week, and that will stimulate some better drying rates. But I think these 80-degree readings we've got in the southeast part of the region here today will probably be a thing of the past for a while. Yeah, but we do see less rain, and that's probably the best news. As we get into the second week of the forecast, though, there's a pretty good chance that the western Corn Belt will start seeing more rain again. So it is a definite narrow window of opportunity, and it's all about location and how wet you are as of this moment in time.
And then once you get out 3 or 4 weeks, do you see any change in the pattern?
Well, you know, if this was a normal spring season, the outlook for late May and June looks really good because we would have a regular occurrence of rain, but some dry days in between. But we're coming into that period so wet that I'm afraid that it's still going to be a very big, frustrating period of time because we're going to just get some of these fields in good shape to start working them aggressively, and then we're going to get disrupted by some more rain, and we'll have to wait again. So I think it'll be better just simply because we'll be warmer between rain events, but it's still going to be a struggle to try to get it all done like we would want it to be done.
Just a few seconds left. The rest of the Northern Hemisphere, any problems?
China is high on the list of areas of concern right now. Their North China Plain, a very rich corn and soybean producing area, is very dry and not likely to get rain for the next couple of weeks. This may be ongoing for a bit, and we do want to watch that. There's also a ridge of high pressure building up over eastern Russia's New Lands region, and that area is going to benefit from this for a while, but they do have some potential for seeing this ridge persist a little later in the summer, so it could get a little interesting for them as well.
Thanks much. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated. I'm Todd Gleason.